It's the Beckler and Shauna podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes. Offering affordable customization on your new home.
It's Wednesday, March 6th, 2024. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
This is the Beckler and Shauna Pisscast. Shauna, if folks want to get in touch with you on social media, see what you're up to on there, where's the best place to find you?
At Shauna Jefferson, but it looks like Sienna, at S-E-A-N-N-A Jefferson, all one word, on all social media, it's the same.
It's cool that you nailed down all of those handles.
Yeah, it's because my name is so stupidly spelled. Nobody else has it. So
are you the only Shauna Jefferson spelled like that in the world?
That I know of. Like, there's probably maybe one in the world somewhere that doesn't have social media, but if you search it, I'm the only one that pops up, so.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
A unique name.
It is. Very unique.
I'm at Beckler89 on mostly Instagram and TikTok. I'm not really using the other platforms. I don't have Facebook anymore.
Yeah.
Not a Twitter guy anymore. Yeah. Even TikTok's been pissing me off lately, so I'm not super active on there like I used to be.
Instagram is the best way to get a hold of both of us.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you
or
message
Facebook,
me,
I guess I'm fairly active on there too. But.
Message me on Instagram. I will read your message. I respond to as many of them as I can.
Me too. Yeah.
But that's the best place to find the videos that we're making and stuff.
Hell yeah.
On today's show, we're going to talk about these restrictions that have been put in place for renewable energy projects around the province. We got perspective from a guy who ranches south of here, and he had some interesting things to say.
He did, yeah.
We'll talk about dive bars, medical waste. Like, if you have an arm amputated, where does it go?
Mm-hmm.
We do a live psychic reading on the show today.
Okay.
And the funniest, man, this is one of the funniest messages we've got in a while about something that was placed into a time capsule. After your out-of-context clip. I'd take a pie.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
Beckler, you and I were killing ourselves recently because we were talking about bad haircuts. And I was making fun of myself because growing up, I wanted the Cameron Diaz. And then, of course, my hairdresser frigged it up and she mushed me. She gave me a mushroom cut.
She mushed you.
I had a lady mush, okay? A mushroom cut for a lady. And it was a very seminal time in my life. It was like grade 5 or 6 or something when everybody makes fun of you and I had a mushroom cut. Anyway, after we discussed this, regular contributor to the show, Nurse Jan Bush, she messaged in and she said, hey, when I was younger, I actually had a rat tail. So a lady rat tail. And I was like, okay, I mean, that's pretty funny.
They were floating around in the 80s and 90s. Tough look, but
yep.
They were mm-hmm. there. Yeah.
And then she said that someone in her class, I guess her class was putting together a time capsule. And someone in her class came by her and chopped off her rat tail to put in the time capsule.
I shouldn't laugh about her getting hurt because you can't cut someone else's hair.
Awful.
You just can't do that.
No, but...
But the idea of like...
a student being like, what should we put in this time capsule to remember... In 100 years from now, when you take one look at this rat tail and go, this is it.
Just, and you know what? That student was
crap.
Right, too.
Oh,
like,
my
that
God,
is the
yes.
kind of thing that should go in a time capsule. Newspapers and
yes.
all that, music from the time, that's great.
Yeah.
We're going to have records of that.
But every time capsule has that stuff.
A physical rat tail?
So this was apparently in 1984. So in 2084, this time capsule will be opened.
And they're going to be like,
and someone's going to pull out this rat tail and be like, what in the hell is this? Oh, wow. Look at this relic of the past. What is it? Must have been something very significant for some sort of religious ceremony.
Yes.
Or like,
it was her standing in the...
Is this a...
In the community.
Is this like
nope.
the...
Nope, not at all.
Nope. Was this one of these things that you used to, like, you know, slap behind your back with, just hit yourself with this?
It's a rat tail.
Beautiful.
Okay,
it's a lady rat tail.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
I'm worried that my mom is getting tricked by a psychic right now.
Oh.
So far, not financially.
Okay.
So far.
Mm.
But I've still had to have a chat with her the other day about what we believe and what we don't believe.
All right.
I actually want to try something here.
Okay.
I'll tell you what's going on with my mom, but I want to try something as well. If you would like a psychic reading, give us a call right now at 403-238-9929. And the first person through here, I'll give you a psychic reading. So my parents spend part of the winter in Arizona. They're there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And in their complex, there's a pool and they got all their friends at the pool and stuff. And there's this one lady there who was doing psychic readings for my mom. And my mom was like, it was amazing what she knew about me.
Oh,
you know, she said, the woman said, you know, you're very nurturing. You're a mama bear. You know, when you're very emotional and you got that nurturing. And I was like, Mom, what mother in the world
is not nurturing?
Is not. Like, what mother's going to be like, nah, that's not me.
Or deny it at least, even if they're not. You'd be like, yeah, I am. Mm-hmm.
And then this woman, I guess she knew what was going on with our family, you know, with my wife being sick last week and everything. And she's like, you know, but I'm feeling a lot of resilience from her. You know, she's tough. She's a fighter. And I was like, again, no one's going to be like, oh, no, actually, I'm a little bitch. You know, like, no one's going to.
She's going to actually give up.
Yeah, no, she was thinking about quitting.
Yeah.
No one's going to say that.
No.
Like, these are just such vagaries. Like, watch this. Watch this. Okay. You know what? Oh, that person's gone. Let's try this right here. I'm not even going to ask your name. Can you hear us all right? Turn your radio down for me, man.
Yeah, it's echoing a bit here. Yeah.
I'm not even going to ask your name. But I can feel the energy coming through the phone, coming through the radio. This is two ways here, right? I got a feeling that you are experiencing a little bit of uncertainty right now. That there's maybe some change on the horizon for you. Am I close there?
I'm uncertain I'm going to get to work on time. So you're pretty close there.
I was about to say, I feel frustration. Like you are right now as you're heading into work. There's a lot of frustration. Mm. Are you feeling that, or
a pretty good guess? Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? I also feel like you've been through this sort of thing before, and you know that you'll get through the other side. You're resilient. You know, it even made you stronger as you came out the other side. Is that at all accurate?
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. Okay.
I definitely made it through some stuff, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. This has just been remarkable. That'll be $100, please, sir.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
The flame atop the Calgary Tower was lit up again on the weekend for Kipper's retirement. Did you see that?
I didn't see that one. I saw the one for the Special Olympics last week.
Yeah, and we talked about that. We got pretty cranked for it because it's been so long since we've seen that flame lit up.
I think I've only seen it twice before this, and it's always super exciting when you do see it.
Oh, yeah, and then they did it again on the weekend, and I was like, that's twice within like a week now that we've gotten to see that flame lit up.
Workout.
Woo-wee! I truly feel like we should light it a little more, though. It's like, why not?
I'm 100% on board. Yeah.
And I found out recently, and I don't know if this is a lie or not, but someone online was mentioning that you can actually submit reasons as to why that should be lit. Just like because you can submit when the tower itself gets lit in different light colors for different events, right? Yeah. You can also request that the flame be lit for certain things.
I didn't know that.
I doubt that they do it very often. It better be something pretty prominent, I'm assuming. But when I heard that, I was like, hold on a second.
I'm in favor of really lowering the bar.
I think we should.
On the reasons for why we light the tower on top of the
car. Like, honestly, we should. If it was up to me, it would be every night. You know what I mean? Like, as well, right?
Gas prices come down, lighter up. Fire it up.
Every time everyone goes out at the same time. It could be the same time every night, too. off their balconies. Everybody's screaming at the tower.
Flames win a regular season game. Burn it.
Oh, that's huge. I mean, these days it doesn't happen as often as it should. So, yes, I agree.
Friday quitting time?
Yep.
I mean, get that thing burning.
In all seriousness, I think every big holiday should, like Canada Day especially, it should be lit all day.
For
all
sure,
night,
yeah.
All day to Canada Day.
How much does the fuel for that sucker cost?
I don't know.
Pay it.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Burn it all day.
We get a Chinook rolling in. Everybody sits on the patio. Light that thing up.
Fire
you know?
It up. Yeah.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
This might be a dumb question, but McKenna's mom and I were discussing this the other day. What happens to medical waste? And I mean specifically like parts of your body. Like if you have a limb amputated, if you have an organ transplant, what happens to the old one? What do they do with all that stuff?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I assume at the hospital and stuff, they would have a designated bin that they put that type of stuff into.
Yes.
But from there, I don't know where it would go.
That's what we figured. They would have some place to store it, maybe even cold storage at the hospital for this stuff.
Yeah.
But then it's got to go somewhere. To be disposed of. Like, I don't think the garbage truck picks it up.
No.
So where does it go?
There's probably a dedicated company that comes by and picks it up, right? And brings it somewhere.
You would think so.
Kind of like they would with any other type of hazardous waste, right?
Mm-hmm. I imagine it gets incinerated eventually.
Yeah.
Ooh. But where is this done? Who picks it up? Who's the company?
This is not a discussion we should be having when people are trying to eat breakfast. I'm sorry.
I apologize if it's morbid, but it's a question that we are
trying
to get to the bottom. I read about this place in Ontario, this business in Ontario, where they fight for you to get your limbs back. Because oftentimes hospitals don't want to give you that stuff back.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's kind of yours.
Yeah.
If you have an arm amputated, It's your arm.
Wasn't there some dude there who it? Like made a guitar out of old ribs or something that he got back?
Yeah, or I was reading about
I don't know, something like that.
A guy lost his leg in a snowmobiling accident and he wanted it back as part of like the healing process, I think. He thought it would help him get
over it. I would stuff my own leg.
And it, I think it would be your
use
right
to do
that. Use
it as like a walking cane or something, you know? I'm sure there's something useful you could do with it.
A lamp, I think, would be the obvious go-to.
Of course.
A decorative lamp.
Oh, with a fancy, sexy stripper heel on it? Yeah. I'd do that for sure.
I was picturing a high heel, too. Mm-hmm. I want to know, though, where this stuff goes. Maybe some of it goes to medical research.
Yeah.
And then it gets, you know, it gets frozen and then dissected by med students or by researchers or whatever. But eventually it has to be destroyed.
You're right.
Because I don't think they just dump it in the landfill.
Nope.
So where does it go?
Don't know.
And who picks? I want to know more about the business that picks it up. I looked and I couldn't find anything as it pertains to Alberta or to Calgary. But
maybe because they just do quietly put the landfill. They're like, we don't have anything better.
But then you'd find it at the dump, wouldn't you?
Oh, maybe.
If you were like unloading pieces of an old deck.
And then all of a sudden there's Shauna's leg.
Man, that's weird. That's really dark.
Cool.
I'm picturing the vehicle that hauls it away from the hospital. It's like a roofing truck. You know, the ones that they used to put all the old shingles in?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But there's just like parts sticking out of it.
Yeah.
And all kinds of twisted parts sticking out of it.
Yeah.
Arms and legs.
That would be terrifying.
Spleens
for
and gallbladders. And
okay.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Justin's in studio two here. We learned a bit more about where medical waste goes. Some hospitals have incinerators on site. Some have companies come and cart it away to an incinerator, but it does end up getting incinerated eventually.
Yeah.
Justin, you have a friend who used to work at the hospital.
Yeah, I have a friend that works at a hospital, I believe in Brampton, actually.
Brampton, Ontario?
Yeah,
Brampton, my hometown of Brampton, Ontario.
Yeah, I knew you would like that.
Oh, there's a lot of human waste probably there.
I was going to say, they have a stabbing department. They have emergency, and then they have a separate section for the stabbing.
So yes, exactly.
I don't think he works in sanitation anymore, but he did at one point, and he told me this story about how like he used to have to go in and clean up the surgical rooms after they were done. He's like, it was pretty morbid at times, but there was one like kind of funny instance in particular where he shows up, and they've got it all put in a bag, and on the bag it just says, leg for disposal?
Leg. Oh.
Leg.
It's a leg.
A leg. One leg for disposal. And so the protocol was you're supposed to put it in this bucket, but unfortunately the leg was just like a little too big to like have the lid close on the bucket.
Oh my God. Was this a giant leg? Like, you'd think that they would know because they've done it in the past, right? That it would be too small.
Shaq all of a sudden losing a leg or something like that.
Luckily, it bends at the knee. Is that what he did?
Well,
is he a 7-footer or an 8-footer?
It was above the knee, and I guess it wouldn't quite go in. And so he calls his boss and it's like, yeah, like, I get that this is protocol, but it won't fit. And his boss is like, well, just stuff it in there. Bend it in. It's like, that's kind of tough, man. Like, there's bones in there. You can't just, you know, snap it off and away you go.
Also, like, was this a brand new company? A boss? Just stuff it in there, man.
Just get it in there as best you can.
So he did?
I think he just rested the lid. You know when a garbage is just a little too full and you kind of just, like, rest the lid?
That's not sanitary, I'm sure. Then, like, parts that are going to be falling. Oh, my God.
Just do your best, I guess.
I mean, if they don't have incinerator on site and it goes to, like, a freezer or something, then do they just call the company when it gets full? They're like, hey, our leg freezer's getting kind of full. Hey, did you put the leg bin out for pickup? Oh, I forgot.
It's like recycle bin. It's just a particularly bad week. Oh, we got a lot of limbs this week. You're going to have to come a little earlier.
Wow.
Bringing a whole new meaning to missing leg day.
That's what I was going for.
Dad joke. Dad joke.
When McKenna was in the hospital, I was just thinking about, like, hospitals, as like creepy as they can be and as kind of gross as they can kind of be, like with all the stuff we're talking about, the morbidity and that. They're incredible operations, aren't they?
Fascinating.
Yeah, like all the moving parts that make it worse. And I was sitting there thinking, like, what does it look like behind the walls? What do the guts of this place look like?
It's gotta be insane.
Like the wiring and the data coming and going from there, and you know, all the gas that they run through.
Yeah, think about all the hookups that they have in each of those individual rooms.
Just the energy, the electricity that would be holy hell.
Yeah.
And then, like, at one point, McKenna had to go down to the basement for imaging, which they call nuclear medicine. And everyone's wearing, like, the lead vests. And I was like, this place is nuts.
Yeah.
And then if you, down at South Health Campus, the new big hospital in Southeast Calgary, like, across from it, there's this building that looks almost like the data center for the hospital. Like, it's got chimneys and it's puking smoke out and, like, just humming.
Well, that's probably the incinerator.
Oh, I wonder if that is. I just assumed it was, like, like the hub, like the information center of the hospital, like where all the
I bet you that's what that blood. Is though. I bet you that would be
that's the brains
I wonder
of it all.
If that's a waste part too though. Sure.
It seemed too big for that.
Oh.
Like how much did they burn it? Is what I would.
Well, it could be both, but yeah.
Depends on how big the legs are.
Depends
know.
How it's true. Depends what the leg.
Yeah, how many legs do we go through a week, you think? Do you think you can phone the hospital and ask?
Yeah, we're about a 6-leg operation.
Right? Yeah. It's like the new one horse town. No, 6 legs, man.
The other thing is, I mean, while the rest of the world is trying to reduce their waste and their use of single use plastics and stuff, hospitals are not.
No.
Because they just can't.
You can't.
Right? Like the amount of just like plastic waste and stuff that went out of McKenna's room in the 10 days she was there was unbelievable. Like the food waste too, because
the gloves alone, amount of gloves, because they are changing their gloves every single every minute almost. Yep. Like I swear.
And all the disposable plastics they use, because you can't be swapping that stuff in and out. Right?
Everything comes in individual packages. Yep. Every swab, every needle, every little thing comes in like its own sanitary sealed package, right? Yep.
Well, like, can't risk infection, right?
Yeah.
Like,
they brought her a meal 3 times a day for the whole time she was in there, and she barely ate any of it because she had no appetite.
Right.
So it all just gets chucked in, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah. Man.
So, yeah, I mean, they're absolutely essential operations, but the amount of waste is incredible.
Sad.
Yeah. Anyway, it's interesting to talk to, like, the operations manager of a hospital.
Yeah, who's got that connection?
Yeah, like, who oversees everything there? That would be a good conversation. Anyway, thank you, Justin.
Of course, anytime.
Justin, are you familiar with the sponsor of this PissCast?
I believe so.
And who would that be?
It's Shane Holmes.
You got it.
Yes.
You got it. Shane Holmes, they offer affordable customization. Do you know what that is, Justin?
I believe so.
I wonder, can you customize it to, you know, host big legs and the hospital wings and all that kind of stuff? Because that's intense.
Learn more about Shane Holmes on their website, shaneholmes.com. Shane Holmes.
The better way to build.
Cool. Thank you, man.
Yeah, anytime.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
As you know, Beckler, I love a good dive bar.
I know you do. You love your dive bars.
I'd actually like to change the name dive, though, because I feel like a dive bar gets a negative connotation. I'm not talking about this in a negative way. These are good, cozy bars, you know? Maybe just a little more character to them, a little older.
Yeah, when you say, oh, that place is a dive, you're not saying it is like...
Ew, it means don't you go want there. To go it there. Mean, yes, it means it's an awesome place to go. It's like, great, let's go check out this dive. But a friend and I have decided that we're going to make the rounds on the best dive bars in the city, or the best adventure bars, perhaps. We kind of have been tossing
adventure
that.
Adventure bars.
Yeah, adventure bars. They're a little more, or an experience bar. I was trying to think of another name you could go with instead of dive bar.
What's the cleaned up? Why is it called a dive, by the way? What does it have to do with diving?
That's a good question. I'm going to have to look into that for etymology as well.
Okay, but, please do.
Yeah, I mean, they used to call them spit and sawdust bars, which is really funny, but that's because they used to... Actually, I went to an old bar in New York, and they still had the sawdust on the ground.
Is it to soak up the
soak
spit?
Soak up booze, and I mean, mostly it's the beer that's spilled, but of course, back then, in the greasy days, it would be pee and
spit
and everything else.
Do they just sweep it all out and put new sawdust down then?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean...
It's actually not too bad.
No.
It's probably cleaner than a lot of bar floors.
Seriously. But spit and sawdust bar is a bit too wordy as well. Like up a saloon, but it's not all saloon. You'd expect...
A saloon has to be
Western vibed if it's that. Anyway, I'm thinking that I want to run a list, so I want to get input from friends of the show, and I have this list already going on my phone, and then I can share it with everybody. We can all come up with a kind of growing and good list, comprehensive map even of all the dives
good.
In the city. You know?
There's a great one in my neighborhood that I haven't told you about.
Oh.
You'd love it.
Okay.
You'd love it. Apparently
we need to add
food
that to the
is
list.
Great. The
Maybe
waitress,
neighborhood pubs are the better way of saying it, because they're...
The server calls you hun way too many times. That's the kind of place you're looking for, right?
Yeah. Sometimes the grizzled older servers who don't take any crap from people, I love that as well.
There's no security, no doorman, because the server will toss
Neon
you.
Neon lights. I love it. Give me VLTs in the back, just all that.
This place has all that. It's got karaoke.
Okay. Well, that's going to be out of the list ASAP.
An adventure bar. Keith.
I know. See, that's not good enough.
You got to find something that you're right, that isn't so negative,
you know,
but still a cozy bar. But
no.
A place can be cozy and still kind of corporate.
Yeah. What's another word for dive? Maybe we should just switch up that.
We'll work on this a little.
We will.
We'll work on the branding, but you want to make a list?
Yes.
Okay.
Give them to me.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Man, when you have a family crisis, like in our case, we had a health crisis last week with my wife.
Yeah.
People bring food.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how we show love.
You're absolutely right.
I mean, even, you know, community and stuff. You sit down and have a meal together. This mm-hmm. is a part of the human spirit.
Yeah. It's like, can I do anything for you? Can I bring a meal?
Yeah.
Just because you're right. Food is love. Food is love to
actually,
humans.
That's the etymology of companion. It's sharing bread. That's what
really?
Companion actually means, because that's what you do with somebody you care about. There you go.
Anyway. Do you just have these all up there?
Now I'm starting to hoard them. They're shoehorning into my brain here.
But McKenna posted on her Instagram the other day. She was like, does anyone know like where the best soup in Calgary is or whatever? Because she was craving soup. And within an hour, there were three soup drops on our front steps.
Hell yeah.
Three
and
people.
Soup is, oh, that is one of the ultimates in care.
When you're, it's just so, it's like
you
a
wanna,
hug, right?
You want to give, yeah, you want to give soup, you want to make soup, you want to get soup.
It's a good recovery dish too,
yeah.
Right? I told her their next post should say that she also would really like some craft beer.
Okay.
That would help with her recovery.
That's taking advantage, nice. Okay. It's not a good thing to do.
Kind of reminds me of when my grandma died a few years ago. One of my mom's friends said to my dad, she's like, if you need anything at all, like, please don't hesitate to ask. And he was like, I'd take a pie. So she
Perfect.
Brought him a pie.
That's awesome. What kind? Apple pie?
Yeah, I think it was an apple pie.
I think apple pie and
offered,
chicken noodle soup
so.
Might be on the pinnacle, the goat of comfort foods.
Care food?
Yes,
care
absolutely.
Food. Yeah.
Home apple pie.
But I mean, so many people have offered recently. Like, if there's anything your family needs,
you're
please
like,
don't hesitate to ask.
Beer. Just bring me beer.
I wouldn't say
don't
that.
Worry about McCann.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast. Etymology with Shauna.
Well, I have the etymology of three different animals today, and these are always fun to me.
Animal names.
Okay. And why we call animals certain animal names. The first one, going to just jump right into it here, rhinoceros. Okay, so this comes from the Greek rhinocharis, very similar, where rhino means nose and charis means horn.
Nose horn.
So rhinoceros means nose horn, and of course that's why rhinoplasty means nose job, because rhino is anything to do with noses, rhino.
I never thought about that.
No, so there
the similarity
go.
Between those two. Okay.
It's the old nose horn there.
The old nose horn.
Crocodile gets its name from the Greek crocodrilos, where croc means pebbles and drilos means worm. So a crocodile means pebble worm.
Because of the texture of its skin?
No, actually, because they love to sun themselves on rocks or big pebbles. That's how they warm themselves off. And when you see crocodiles, like when I'm in Florida, they're all like just lounging on rocks.
Well, they're cold-blooded, right?
Yeah.
So they have to, yeah.
Yeah, so they sun themselves and they just take a little look at you and you're like, oh, that's terrifying. Did I ever tell you the story about when I went running through a sprinkler at night and there was a crocodile right next to me?
No, I don't think I heard that.
Last time I was in Florida, that happened. And yeah, my boyfriend, who's a little terrified of crocodiles and alligators and anything.
Seems like
reptilian.
A pretty reasonable fear to
that's
have.
Fair.
They're like
yeah.
prehistoric killers.
Mm-hmm. So I was running through the sprinkler in the middle of the night on this golf course that was right out our back door. And we came back in and then he looks and there's a crocodile right there. And then the next morning it was sunning itself right where I was running. And it was like, dude, you were almost crocodile meal. So
he's
yeah.
warming up to eat you later.
It was a bit terrifying. Yeah. I was like, oh, yes, I may have stepped over him. You never know.
Dumb question. Aren't they alligators in Florida?
Yeah, sorry. I always mix them up. It's the other one. It's the one that's in Florida is the one that almost ate me. Then the cobra gets its name from the Portuguese cobra de capello, which means hooded serpent or serpent of the hood.
Hmm.
It's a hood snake, Beckler. I am never going to not refer to a cobra as a hood snake from this point forward. Now I'm just picturing a gangster snake that's walking.
I'm picturing an uncircumcised penis, but that's me.
Well, so. I mean, it's a great name for that as well.
Etymology with Shauna.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
An Alberta heritage moment.
Between International Women's Day on Friday and the launch of the new Professional Women's Hockey League this year, we look today at Calgary native and women's hockey booster Joan Snyder.
Snyder's mother Phoebe played hockey in the 1920s, and as a result, hockey was a big part of Joan's early life. Joan grew up during the Great Depression and had seen the struggles people endured and the hardships of having very little. When the family became wealthy from their oil and gas and farming interests, Joan chose to dedicate her life to helping others.
She became focused on philanthropy, and because of her connection to hockey, she made a huge contribution to the University of Calgary's women's hockey team. She donated $400,000 to the Dinos in 2011, and this money was used to secure a full-time assistant coach, new equipment, sports medicine, academic advising, and community outreach.
This was at a time when Hockey Hall of Famer Haley Wickenheiser played for the team, and Danielle Goyette, another Hall of Famer, was coach. Both of these women now work for the Toronto Maple Leafs in player development.
Joan was a financial contributor to research on injury prevention in female athletes and to Haley Wickenheiser's personal scholarship for varsity women's athletes. Not only that, but Snyder funded the launch of the Calgary Inferno of the Canadian Women's Hockey League in 2011 as well.
Perhaps Joan's largest donations went to disease research. This money was used to develop the Calvin, Phoebe, and Joan Snyder Institute for Chronic Diseases at the University of Calgary in 2008.
Joan Snyder has been recognized for her philanthropy both internationally and in her own country, receiving the Order of Canada in 2013. When she passed away in 2022 at the age of 90, her estate donated $67.5 million to the University of Calgary.
There's also now a rink at the Mark and McPhail Center at Winsport named after the woman who was known as the grandmother of Canadian women's hockey.
This has been an Alberta Heritage Moment.
You've been listening to the Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes, offering affordable customization on your new home.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's Alternative, X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have Beckler and Shauna downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.
After Hours with Mariah and Ty, a weekly podcast that brings this dynamic duo to another level of awesome and allows you to listen on your own terms. Go behind the curtain and hear the stuff you won't hear on the radio. Like, they're going to say
Find After Hours with Mariah and Ty wherever you get your podcasts.